I was reading a little bit this morning, Gary Lawless, formerly of the Winnipeg Free Press, talking about the Winnipeg Jets and how do you trade? It's all about Ladd and Byfuglien. The season has gone terribly for them. Do you trade them? Yep. Do you sign them? What do you do? It sounds like maybe they're, well, again, Cheveldayoff and staff maybe starting to figure out what their plan of attack is going to be.
Yeah, I think it is. I reported on Saturday in the headlines that I think they're going to take a real run at signing Byfuglien, and what that game turned into, because it's just the way it goes, is, well, you mentioned Byfuglien, how come you didn't mention Ladd, so what does that mean here? And I think we're all kind of searching for the answer to that question. To sign Byfuglien, they're going to have to go longer in term than they want. I think they always knew that the salary number for Byfuglien was going to be higher than the salary number for Ladd, just because of the demand and the position he plays and all that. But the thing about Buff is that they initially, and this is a long time ago, they didn't want to go past 3 years. And now they're realizing they're going to have to, if they're going to do that, I think internally the conversation is, how long do they want to go? Like, is it five? Is it six? But I think they're really going to try to get him signed. The other thing with Byfuglien, it's difficult to figure out here, is that his no-trade clause is a bit different. They have to ask him for a list, and he submits a list of places either he won't go to or will go to. And as far as I can tell, they haven't asked for that yet. It's possible they have, and I just don't know, but I don't think they've asked for it. So my sense is they are really going to take a big run at Byfuglien and make a decision. Ladd, that's not to say that they're not going to do that, but I just don't get the same sense of urgency. And I don't know. I think both guys will get them something. My just sense is that they're really trying with Byfuglien. That information seems to be out there, and the same information isn't out there with Ladd. So one of two things is going on here, Dean. Either I don't know, or they're just more serious about signing Byfuglien than they are Ladd.
What does that mean for Trouba? I mean, they've got a lot of defensemen. If they're actively trying to get Byfuglien back, who would be a huge trade chip, and they already have Myers and some other guys that are certainly serviceable, does that suddenly put him more in play than we might expect for an RFA?
Well, I think it's possible. I mean, the thing with Trouba is at least they have the advantage of time. I think they also know with Trouba, because I think they had some negotiation with the agent earlier this year. So I think they know if they want to go long-term with Trouba, it's a big number. If they want to go short-term with Trouba, it's a bit of a smaller number. So with that particular situation, they have the advantage of not being up against a free agency clock. They can sit there and they can say, we kind of have an idea of where we're going based on the length of contract that we want to do. So I think that's the difference there. I don't think it's as much important in terms of the timing as Byfuglien and Ladd is.
Why did it go so wrong in Winnipeg this year?
You know, that's a great question. They are, as a group, they are incredibly undisciplined. They take a lot of penalties. You know, they're first or second in the league in penalties. And you know what? They take a lot of dumb penalties. Kevin Sheldon once said to me that, you know, there's two kinds of penalties you have to kill. Like, if you're killing a penalty where you're doing it by, like, intimidation, or you're taking a good penalty to save a goal or scoring chance, that's one thing. But they seem to kill, he felt, an awful lot of lazy penalties, the hooks, the trips, and he says those are the ones that always seem to bite you. So I think the penalty killing is, and the penalties themselves are one thing. Secondly, they give up a lot of high-quality chances. You look at the scoring chances against them, and even Paul Maurice will say it's not how many you give up, it's the quality that you give up, and they give up a lot of good ones. And, you know, I think they took a big step last year. It's a brutal division. I don't know if they expected it to be, okay, we took one step, and now we're going to take another, and maybe they just aren't as good as they thought. but they're dealing with a lot of young players that maybe didn't advance as far as they'd hoped. Trouba in particular didn't have a great year, and he looked like he was going to be a stud. And he probably still will be, but this was a tougher year for him. And the other thing, too, I do wonder, Dean, is if, you know, two of your most dominant personalities, if having their contracts be up and the distractions that come with that played a factor in this team.
He is Elliot Freeman, our hockey insider here on Boomer and Warner in the morning. As the world turns in Tampa Bay, Drouin, Stamkos, anything to report there?
Well, we also mentioned about Stamkos and the fact that they've made their first offer to him. Well, I should say I believe it's their first offer. Nobody really knows exactly what's happening here. And it's an AAV of 8.5, and I don't think anybody expected that to get it done. But at least now we seem to have some kind of a starting point. Now, I should clarify one thing, and that's that it's been reported that I mentioned 8 years. I'm not sure about that. I'm assuming that that was an option, but I think they also gave Stamkos the option of, do you want to take a shorter term so you can get another big contract out of this? So I think there's a lot of negotiating going on there. Basically, to me, this is Tampa putting a stake in the ground and saying, okay, now we've got a starting point. Where do we want to go from here? And we'll see. I'll tell you this. I think there's a number of other teams here that will kind of wonder, okay, if you're offering 8.5, then you're probably willing to go to 9. And if you're willing to go to 9, well, how far into 9 are you willing to go? And I think everybody believes that Steven Stamkos' first choice is to stay in Tampa. And if they're willing to go into 9, you know, what does Stamkos want? How high does he want it to go? Does he take a bit less money than he can get in the open market to stay there? What about the other situations? Is he comfortable with his role? Is he happy with everything? I think if Tampa gets into 9, it's going to be interesting to see where this conversation heads to.
Well, 9 in Florida is a little different. I understand you get taxed wherever you play in terms of on the road, but for 41 games a year, there's no state tax. Is that accurate for hockey?
Yes, it is. You know, it's really good for that reason, that there's no state taxes there. And in a sport, and, you know, Renaud Lavoie reported last night that escrow is going to go up to 18% from the current 16. I'm actually a little bit surprised at that. I thought it would actually go higher. You know, that's another factor, too. It's more money in your pocket. And but at the end of it, and I think that is a factor. I mean, it's funny. I had one guy tell me that he says, you know, where are the places that the players are going to want to play now? Well, there's no state tax in Florida. There's no state tax in Dallas. There's no state tax in Tennessee. And as someone was happy to point out to me, there's no state tax in Nevada. So, you know, at a time where I know a lot of people won't feel very sympathetic to millionaire athletes, but the fact is the escrow bite and the state tax bite, some of these places do make a difference.
Why don't we ever talk about that escrow? Like, is it an important piece? Because for the players, it would be, obviously, if it's going
it's
up.
It's huge. Like, I'll tell you, I'm not going to say who it was, but in the last couple of weeks, I was having two other reporters were having a conversation with a player, right? And I happened to be walking by, and they said to me, does the NBA have a cap on the escrow? And I go, yeah, it does. And they go, what's the maximum? And I said, I think it's 9%. And the player just rolled his eyes. Now, in the NHL, we were at 16, and if Renaud's correct, and I have no reason to believe he's wrong, he's a good reporter, we're going to 18. And, you know, I mean, I know people aren't very sympathetic, but imagine if every time you got a paycheck, almost one-fifth of it was getting held back and you were hoping to get some of it sometime later.
I don't think they are getting much.
I do think they get money back, Rhett. I generally feel the strategy I've been told, although it will be interesting with this one to see if it happens, the strategy I've been told, Rhett, that they generally do is that they go higher so that way there's a better chance of you getting money back. I mean, as you know, it's a psychological thing. When it's over, if you can tell people, oh, you're getting this much back, it's always better than saying either you're getting you're not getting anything back, or I'm sorry, we put the number in too low, you have to give even more.
I just heard that they aren't getting much back. And I mean, when I started, it was 3 or 4%, I think, or maybe 5 was the most I ever paid for an and we got it back. And it's something that's never mentioned. And I guess I get it, and that's how they're doing the math and stuff. But you get guys that go out and every year take more and more of it, and then at the end it cuts everything back for the lower guys too. Like the guy making $650, yeah. He's not making $650.
No, well, depending on where you're getting taxed and your escrow and your agent's fees, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a big chunk. Yeah, absolutely, and it's a much bigger deal now. That actually, although Red. I do remember that the year, were you still playing when the All-Star game was in Montreal?
Well, Elliot, I have no idea.
No,
I wasn't invited. I know that.
We're talking, I think, 2009.
No, 09 was my last year.
Okay.
08, 09.
So that year, Rhett, the All-Star game was in Montreal. And the day before the All-Star game, the Players Association, and Paul Kelly ran it at the time, had a media conference, an annual or State of the Union, and they announced that their escrow was going to 22%. And that's the highest it's ever been. And we were sitting there going, wow, like, can you imagine getting 22% taken off your paycheck? And I remember the league went crazy because they were mad that this got announced at the All-Star game and it became a big news story. So, you know, I think that's the way it is. And
so does that,
honestly,
does it play in?
It's the Canadian dollar. It's a killer.
Well, and does it play into the whole mindset of an owner knowing that, well, yeah, the cap can go up. I don't care because I'll just escrow it back.
Yes and no. I think there's some owners who think that way, but I think there's other owners who look at it and say, this is really going to hurt my team. And because the cap doesn't go up. And I guarantee you there are certain situations right now where owners look at this and say, you know, and some owners are happy with the cap lower. There's no question about that. And there's other owners who look at it and say, you know what, I'd prefer if the cap was a little bit higher because my team could be better, or I could sort out some mistakes on my team. But, yeah, there's no doubt there are some owners who look at it and say, this is foolproof. And I'm sure that some owners look at the commissioner and they say, good job on making it foolproof. And I'm sure the players are sitting there and saying, this is freaking ridiculous. No question about it.
Last one for you. And I know it's a month away, 25th of January. The 29th is the trade deadline. Historically, there's been some teams that like to beat others to the punch and get out ahead. So I wonder if within the next week or two, we could be seeing our first shakeup. We know Washington's going to be there. We know Chicago and L.A. Is there any one team you think to look out for here that could shake us up a little bit early?
I think Winnipeg has the potential to be it, depending on what they want to do. They've got some players hurt, and they might want to see if they can make one last run. I think Minnesota is a team that really would like to add. They're really not happy with the way they're going, and I think they'd like to add somebody too. Anaheim, watch when Fowler and Dupre are both healthy. I think you could see them absolutely move a defenseman. To me, I think one of the more interesting ones in terms of now what is Carolina, who beat you guys last night. I think we were all assuming they were going to do a massive sell-off, and now we're kind of sitting here saying, okay, they're in the race. What does this kind of a thing mean? So I think Winnipeg, Anaheim, Minnesota, I think Montreal, until Carey Price is back, I'm not sure Bergevin is going to do much, although he likes to make moves. And you know what? I think your guy holds a lot of keys here. I mean, I think, Chris Russell and Yuri Hudler, depending on what he wants to do, I think those are guys that teams are going to want. And I think those are the teams that probably hold the key to a lot of this.
I was just going to ask about the Flames. I mean, that temptation of one of those top five picks has to be pretty strong, given that they've just been absolutely mediocre against bad teams on this road trip. They get Dallas tonight. I mean, they're 6 points from a playoff spot and 6 points from Columbus. That's quite the universes to straddle there.
Yeah, and, I've always found, like, in my conversations with Brad Treliving, I think he's a pretty realistic guy. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's sitting there saying, You know what? We're 6 points out of the playoffs, and I think we're a lot better. He's kind of one of those guys, you know, who's, this is what we are. And last year, I remember, even though he had a team that got into the playoffs, he kind of looked at it from a big picture mentality. Like he traded, like a lot of teams that were in the situation that he was in wouldn't have traded Curtis Glencross. He would have just said, you know, that's the kind of guy who can use in the playoffs. We're going to keep him and take our chances. No, he didn't. He made the deal. And I've always found, Ryan, that the surest predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And that says to me that he's continuing to take a long-term view, and he's going to make moves that make sense long-term. Now, I think sometimes in an organization that's not easy. Nobody likes to take a step backwards because it looks like a failure in the eye of your fans. But sometimes I think you have to look at it. The person in charge is making the decisions. They can't think like a fan. They have to think like, this is the plan for our organization. And he has always given me the impression the plan for his organization is long term, that they are still building here, and that's why I think he'll attack it this way. I mean, I thought Calgary would be better. I thought they would get going. I think you reach a point, you're a game 40 something. You're realistic about this is there's something that, you know, we should be better than this, but we're not ourselves. To me, that says to me he's a seller, and I would expect that. He'll go. He's not going to do anything that's going to get him one or two more points. Or if you think, I think if the Flames are making a huge move with young players on their roster, it would have been for a guy like Ryan Johansson, that is somebody who would have stayed there for a long time. But with him off the market, I don't think he's doing that. I think the only way the core of the team is getting dealt with is if it's a piece they keep for years. Other than that, I think they're going long-term thinking.
Good stuff as always, pal. We now need to explain escrow to everybody, but we'll do that coming up a little bit later. Have a good week. We'll talk Friday.
All right, guys. I'll speak to you from Nash Vegas, man.
Nice. Woo. Thanks, bud.
Take care, guys.